Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
This is the Adam Carriker Show.
Position right of the quarterback, out of the shotgun, first and 20. Jailbreak screen in the air. It is hit. It is intercepted by Carriker at the Missouri 21-yard line.
Live from the heart of Lincoln, America, eight-year NFL vet and All-American defensive lineman Adam Carriker.
Shotgun snap to Everett. He's got the left arm going, and now he's got a whole lot of Adam Carriker who rips him down inside the 25-yard line.
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com, here is your host, Adam Carriker.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to Hour 2 of the Adam Carriker Show here on 93.7 The Ticket. We're going to put some final thoughts on DBK, Danny Best Boom Kelly, volleyball, and then we're going to head it to some 6-7-figure offers being offered to backup Husker football players, redshirt freshmen, things of that nature. All right. I got a trivia question for you, Jake.
Oh.
Well, I got to do some quick math. Yep, I was right in my head. All right, I had to use my fingers because I'm smarter than the average dumb guy sometimes. How many years in a row has Patrick Mahomes taken the Chiefs to the AFC Championship game?
Ooh. I believe 7.
You got it.
Yes.
I hate that you got it. But 2019 was his first year starting. I think this is their 5th trip to the Super Bowl now. All 7 years he started as their quarterback, he's taken them to the AFC Championship game. Well, didn't the Patriots go 10 straight years to the AFC Championship game at one point?
That wouldn't surprise me.
It was either 9 or 10. And 10 is what sticks out in my head. So I'm curious to see if Mahomes can actually match that, what he can do. All right. Final thoughts on volleyball. Is there anything off the text line real quick before we put final thoughts on that and dive into some Nebraska offers to backup players that are just crazy to me?
Well, I like kind of the text line's kind of enjoying the who's the best transfer portal edition. So we got some more thoughts here. Nebraska ball fan says, hey, guys, how about Jazz Shelley is one of the biggest transfers Nebraska has gotten. Like that. But 0603 says, no, ball by a long shot. She came in as a proven 2-time national championship player already.
When you're talking about most proven, it's ball. It's hard to gauge that because she's literally played one game so far. And already she's done what you would expect her to do, not to put pressure on her. We already talked about that clip earlier that we played. But for me, I think in the end it's going to be Jordy Ball. She's the most accomplished. And I've talked about it. The two positions that dictate the outcome of games in any sport that's a team sport the most is quarterback in football. Obviously, you need a run game and an offensive line. It's the most team-oriented sport of all the team sports, which is ironic that quarterback is probably the single most position in football, but maybe in all of sports as well. The other one I could argue is softball and pitcher. Pitcher and softball, because you can throw so many more innings. And obviously, the pitcher has the most direct impact on the outcome of a softball and or a baseball game, but baseball pitchers can't pitch as much. But real quick, Troy Dannon, when talking to the crowd, said, high school girls, remember, when someone tells you that you only need to play one sport, the head coach of the best volleyball team in the land won 2 basketball state championships in high school in the same gym, and she will now coach volleyball daily. And here's something he didn't put into this. Nebraska's softball coach actually said she believed that Danny Busboom Kelly could have played collegiate softball and been very, very good. Not just play, but been very, very good. All right. Being a multi-sport athlete, Dannon said, is important for all your development as an athlete. You'll make memories that last a lifetime and you'll be part of your community. I'll be honest, I had this quote ready to go even before I went on the whole multi-sport rant. So that was just something that I thought was great from Troy Dannon as well. And final public words today on John Cook from new volleyball coach Danny Busboom Kelly. And I quote, I know he would have loved to go out with a national championship, but he will be just as happy watching this team win one in December, end quote. Now, that's per the coach right there, Danny Busboom Kelly. We had someone texting on the text line. Hey, they have what it takes to win a national title, but it's not fair to expect it now. But that's what the head coach of Nebraska's volleyball team had to say yesterday, and this was something that I saw as a comment. I think it was YouTube. I can't remember. One of the social medias. Hoping Danny has tremendous success. It's like Frost returning with Nebraska, but with a proven track record. Playing for Nebraska meant a lot to her. Winning as a coach, it's her dream job. The pressure is high. Margin for error is minimal. Louisville has a good volleyball fan base. All right, let's play that last clip, and then we will proceed on to football after you play that last clip there, Jacob, DBK.
Obviously, Troy Dannon has the utmost belief and confidence in you. He's blown away by you, Coach Cook, too. But what makes you believe that you're ready for this, to take over Nebraska as a head coach of Nebraska volleyball?
I think a lot of it is what we've done in the past at Louisville and how we were able to build that program. And then on now, knowing what I did there and having some of the resources and the tools here, it just makes me feel like anything is possible. And the core values are going to be the same. It's just going to be with a little extra of everything else, which it's hard. It's hard, though. I don't know. We'll see. I feel like I'm pretty confident, but I'm already nervous for that first match. That's for sure.
You know, just being that you wore the uniform, you played here, how much difference, how much pride, more pride, I guess, you take, and maybe the understanding of what it takes to win in this uniform?
Yeah, just being able to tell our team I've walked in these shoes and in the biggest pressure situations, and I failed a lot, and there were a lot of moments that I didn't know if I'd come out, but then there were also the highest highs, and being able to look back and have perspective on that and share that with our team, I think makes a big difference in how we communicate. And I think understanding too, that as big as Nebraska volleyball is, the biggest volleyball brand in the world, it's still a game. And we need to approach it with that, with love and fun and joy. And of course the competitive spirit it takes to win.
All right. You got any final thoughts on volleyball, DBK, her introduction yesterday, before we move on to football there, Jake?
No, it's just like you said, kind of saying earlier, is you got to listen to the journeys, the failures, and you know, that kind of makes the highs even better when you get there. But I will just say this, I would have been offended by that question. Like, what makes you think you're ready to take over at Nebraska? Well, I've been in the national championship two of the last 3 years, so that'd be a good indicator.
And think Louisville never even been a number one seed. And then they played for two of the last three national championships. So remember, their best player, the ACC player of the year, was out in that national championship match. And by the way, that first match that she's rightfully nervous for, I mean, there's so much expectation and excitement. But just remember, like what Jordy Ball said earlier, there's a certain amount of pressure that comes with that. And hey, true competitors, expectations are a privilege. And I guarantee that's her attitude. But there's a lot of expectations here. But that first match is against Pitt next year. I don't know if you knew that. An opponent she's very familiar with, but an opponent that most people believe will be back in the Final Four, hopefully along with Nebraska next year. So I'm looking forward to that. All right. I did find this one stat. Well, I didn't find it. I saw the tweet at Ben Scott Stevens put it out on men's basketball. And actually, we're going to chat about one of their assistant coaches here later on in this hour. Before we go to football, I wanted to share this. 143 Division I men's basketball teams have won 4+ road games this year. 33 Division I men's basketball teams have 4+ quad one games this season. Jake, that was so easy for me to say. 17 Division I men's basketball teams have done both. 5 of those 17 teams play in the Big Ten. Nebraska, Michigan State, Michigan, Oregon, Purdue. This season has been such a roller coaster ride. Like, as excited as I am for Nebraska volleyball and Nebraska football, and now that softball is going to get going and baseball is coming up very, very soon, like this basketball, the men's and the women's, dude, Husker sports is on the rise. I love that I can sit here and I can talk about so many different sports, and it ultimately helps, not just because I love all sports. I genuinely do. I was telling Jake about it in between the breaks. But our teams are pretty good, so it makes it easier to talk about them as well. All right. One more trivia question for you. Then we'll move on to football.
All right.
Who was the last Nebraska coach to recruit a first-round draft pick?
Ooh. That would be Prince. That'd be Bill Callahan.
You got it. You're 2 for 2 on the day, yeah, man. You're 2 for 2 on the day.
I feel pretty good today.
I like that. I'm mad because I lost, and it's your tiebreaker's fault. It can never be my fault. It's always the tiebreaker. All right, ladies and gentlemen. So I got a, how do I put this? Like a surprised text yesterday. And from a source that I very much trust, that after the spring game and throughout the course of the past year, there are backup Nebraska football players, guys that were on the sidelines, redshirt freshmen, who were receiving 6- and 7-figure offers from other schools.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
And for me, when I saw that, I was not shocked, but surprised. I wasn't shocked because college football is just ridiculous right now. I still love it, but it's still ridiculous. The things that are just allowed, they're just accepted to happen. I mentioned yesterday, we just accepted tampering. Instead of going after the people doing it, which is everybody, which is why we don't go after them, because it'll literally be everybody, but there's no accountability. I digress. We just accept it, and then you hear things like this from very reliable sources. And then when you hear Matt Rhule talk about, I don't want to put our team on display. It's almost like you're going grocery shopping if you're an opposing team watching another team on TV. Well, I'll take a little bit of this, and I'll take a little bit of that, and I'll put this in the cart, and I'll put that in the cart, and I'll see if I can't throw enough money at this to get that, except there are players on other teams, and that's not what you're supposed to be doing, but it is what it is. When I saw this, and I trust it, I was like, not shocked, but I was very surprised, because when you talk about 7-figure offers or 6-figure offers for guys who are not starting, I can understand even more so than I could at this time yesterday why Matt Rhule doesn't want to have a spring game. Now, again, I'll always ask, why couldn't we just not televise it? You know, what are we going to do? How do people not record that? Because, again, still people are going to stand out. I don't know how this is all going to work. Troy Dannon said they're going to figure it out throughout the spring, what that last practice is going to look like at the end of April. But for me, I think the way college football is even crazier than most people could realize. So there's a couple other things here. All right. And this is per On3, all right, at On3 Recruits. So I'm looking at this. This is actually via Pete Nakos. Top amenities recruits were asking for, according to NIL Collectives. And I'm sitting at a picture of like chartered flights, literally like acres of land, houses, cars. I'm not saying this to indict the athletes. What I'm saying is what college football has quickly turned into is just crazy for me. The things that are being asked for, the things that are being offered from opposing schools trying to lure players away. To me, it's crazy. It's not shocking, but it's surprising. And something has got to be done. There's got to be a level of accountability. And if you don't start holding people accountable, it's like a kid. They're just going to keep pushing the boundaries, and it's just going to get worse and worse. And eventually somebody's got to put their foot down, or this game is legit going to reach a point, which that I hope never comes, that it could be in trouble and people are going to get sick and tired of it. Because I already know some people who love college football, but they're having a harder and harder time watching it because of things like this. I don't know, Jake, what are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, it just makes you wonder about the future, because if they're getting 6 and 7 figures now, what's it going to be like 3 or 4 years from now if you don't rein it in? And it's just the whole thing's messed up, and thank God it hasn't, you know, gone to complete debauchery. But it's like, you know, the whole system is just free agency. It's like if the NFL just had everybody's a free agent.
Nonstop. Now, yeah. All the time.
And I've said it before. I think years from now, if you don't test your market, you know, what you can get in the market now, I think if it stays the same, at some point it's going to be silly to stay at a school rather than test, you know, what you can make at that time. So, I mean, they've got to find a way to kind of put this together. And again, how do you go about that path when you can't tell a kid where he should go to school, but at some point you need to be able to keep these rosters together? It's just, it's a complete mess. And if you go, you know, if you go to the pro model, you take out the school, which is kind of grandfathered in, and then the university, who uses all that money to balance the rest of their budget in the athletic department. It's just, it's a lot. And football, I can't believe they've done this whole conference realignment through football and just made all the other sports struggle because they can't play regionally. It's all so silly.
Four-time national champion, Oklahoma softball yesterday. I said live on air, lost over $3 million. Four straight national championships. UConn women's basketball lost over $2 million. And them and Nebraska volleyball were the only women's teams out there to have over $2 million in sales. Nebraska volleyball profited, I think it was just under $2 million or $1.5 or something. I read the figure off on the show yesterday. They were still the only women's sport, collegiate sport, to profit last year. For me, I don't think it's rocket science. If you're going to do it like the NFL, you have contracts, you have agreements. Okay. The problem is conference realignment isn't done. The ultimate picture that they want isn't done. The AFC, NFC, Big Ten, SEC model isn't where they want it. So it's hard to put all these parameters in, because it's going to take a process to get where they want, because they know a lot of people don't want it. And so it's going to take time. And in the meantime, it's chaos until you get the actual structure and outlook that they want, which is an AFC, NFC, Big Ten, SEC model. And then they can start to outline the everything else that's become chaos once that model is done. But until we get there, it's hard to enforce it, because here's the other biggest problem. You have, I've said it before, you have all these independent entities, otherwise known as conferences, who are, their priority is their conference. You can't blame them. They're not interested, okay? They're not interested in what's best for the overall game. And so it's hard to get everyone on the same page for what's best for the game, because what's best for the overall game of college football may not be best for your individual entity, and there's no overarching body or individual or person, okay, or quote-unquote committee. I hate to use that term right now when it comes to college football. It's trying to do what's best. So getting people on the same page for what's best is hard. College football has got a long way to go from where the people who are in charge want it to be, so they can maximize the money, which is the ultimate NFL model, which is why every time we turn around, they're trying to make it more like the NFL. Texas is talking about OTAs. You have any idea how many times I've had to explain what OTAs are to college football fans? Because it's not a part of college football. It might be just a natural, normal thing. I could say OTA 2 years from now, and everyone might know exactly what I'm talking about. Where ever since 06, when I was a rookie, nobody, very few people know what I'm talking about that are college football fans. For me, it's hard, because this is my favorite sport to watch. It's my favorite sport to talk about, as much as I love talking about all their sports, because I do. And I love that the 2 hours allows us to go into depth on so many other things. I love that. But for me, we got to get somebody or something in charge that genuinely cares about the game, or a common voice. I don't know. Nick Saban's been thrown out there. He doesn't seem to want to do it. I feel like he has a Southern bias, not just because he was Alabama's coach. I feel that way. Just things he said on TV that I've seen on game day. I don't know that it's as bad as some other folks, but just somebody who cares about the overarching game itself, because I know some fans who are having a harder and harder time listening to, seeing, and experiencing these things when they're watching the game that they love. Does that kind of make sense there, Jake?
Yeah, I mean, you always got to remember, you're going to have the diehards. I'm going to tune in one way or the other, but it's that, you know, that kind of group of fans that's after that, that you got to keep and you got to retain. And I know some people are walking away. Now, it's not, you mentioned the TV ratings the other day, how maybe TV ratings have fallen over time. I mean, the money's still clearly there. So,
yes,
but, and that's the problem. As long as the money is going to continue flowing in, they're not going to feel like there is much of a problem.
That's what matters to them. All right. So I interviewed Grant Wistrom last week, and randomly this tweet that he sent out years ago came up. All right. Impromptu third trivia question.
Uh-oh.
So he put out this tweet after a particular player announced they were going to transfer. My question is, who was the particular player? So here's the tweet, and it goes, me, talking about a kid or maybe Grant himself. All right, this is me talking, all right, in the tweet anyways. Dad, a guy beat me out for the starting D end. I'm going to transfer. The dad responds, shut up, get back to work, earn it. Me says, okay. Now, the point of that was, the first person that I remember being a major transfer from Nebraska, Grant sent this tweet out afterwards. All right. And that was the attitude back then. This tweet, by the way, got a gigantic response. If that were put out today, I mean, because it's Grant, it would get an enormous response. But people would be like, that's just not the way it is. It's just the shifting landscape of college football and sports in general is crazy. My question is, who was the player that announced they were going to transfer and ultimately did transfer?
So it wasn't a defensive end. He was using him as an example.
Yeah, he was just saying, like, if I was Grant Wistrom talking to my dad, it'd be me as Grant Wistrom, dad, a guy beat me out for the starting defensive end spot. I'm going to transfer. The dad goes, shut up, get back to work, earn it. And then me, Grant, as that starting, wannabe starting defensive end, says, okay. If you get this.
I'm trying to think of somebody who got beat out.
If you get this, I will be insanely impressed.
Kevin Williams?
Tristan Jebbia.
Tristan Jebbia, there you go.
Do you remember someone being a major transfer for the football team before him? Like, this is, he was really the first one that kind of like transferred. And he went, started for Oregon State, I believe, transferred to Ohio State after that.
This is like 36, but yeah.
Yeah, he started afterwards. But yeah, Tristan Jebbia. That, yeah, and I remember that tweet when it went out years ago, because at the time I was like, yes. Now it'd be like, man, the world is just so different. It just lands different. All right, ladies and gentlemen, when we come back, we got a very cool story about an assistant Nebraska basketball coach that we want to talk about. And we will also wrap up the show with predicting who's going to win the Super Bowl. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.